Very good.
And in fact, I hope it doesn't complicate it further to say also that we're taught in the New Testament that, in fact, a Christian could eat meat sacrificed to idols just on his own. That is to say, if he bought the meat, or if somebody else bought, probably the Christian wouldn't buy the meat, but if somebody invited him over, the Christian didn't have to worry. If wouldn't have to ask every time, is this sacrifice to idols? Is this sacrifice to idols? Because Paul said, the idol isn't anything. But then if the person who's giving it to you says, this was sacrificed to idols, well, then you make the distinction and you say, well, then that's something that I am not going to take part in. And it says, for conscience sake, not your own conscience, but the conscience of the one who's serving it to you, because you don't want to, now I'm putting in my words, you don't want to lend support to the wrong system of thinking, to the wrong principles. And so if you ate food, all things are purified, sanctified by the word of God and prayer, it says in Timothy. And so if a Christian in innocence eats food and then later finds out, that food, you probably shouldn't have eaten that, the Christian doesn't have to live in fear of suddenly now being spotted by the world because something splattered on him, to use that metaphor, right? But we actively are aware of the fact that there are principles around us. Other people, most people, are thinking according to the principles of the world. And we, when those principles are active, we want to distinguish ourselves. It sounds too self-motivated. I don't mean that we are the ones who are doing that. God is the one who is helping us do all of this. But we want to be aware of the fact that we want to distinguish ourselves from the principles that are underlying the activities and thinking of the world. I'll add another picture from Genesis. If we could turn there to Genesis 11. I'm not sure either if there's a an exact answer. And I think your question is really underlying the reason why we could take up this topic very often, and it always is relevant. Because it's not the kind of thing where you can say, well, just check off, these are the things that you could do, you know, avoid the things in list A and do all the things in list B and you'll be fine. And the scriptures, you know, we can be so thankful that the Lord didn't give us scriptures with a list like that. You know, what would we do if it said, well, don't gamble on chariot races? Okay, well, that's easy. I'm never going to have to worry about that. But, you know, we don't have that. We have principles and guidelines that we have to apply with the Lord's help to the world that we live in. Genesis chapter 11 has the account of the time that the people wanted to build this tower. And in verse 3, it says that the people said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. Okay, so anything wrong there? Nothing wrong with bricks, nothing wrong with baking the bricks, nothing wrong with asphalt to mortar the bricks together. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower. Well, building is not inherently wrong. Let's make a really tall tower. Well, when they say whose top is in the heavens, you start to get a little maybe anxious. Is this really, where are they going with this? But then look what it says. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. And I think this is one of those why are we here kind of answers from the world's perspective. We're here to make a name for ourselves. We're here so people will know who we are. We're here so that future generations will know about me. I read about I don't remember which ancient civilization it was, but sometime in the BC era, a king asked a builder to make a tower and put a engrave in stone the king's name, so that the king he would be immortalized in stone forever in this tower. And the builder secretly made the king's stone, that ledger mentioning the king's name, out of a very easily worn away, easily eroded stone, and so that within 100 or 200 years, the king's name would be gone. and underneath was the builder's name. In much longer lasting stone. So the builder was gone, the king was gone, but who did future generations remember? They remembered the builder. That was, I don't know what the history or the background of that story is, but it illustrates exactly that point, that you know, I want people to remember me. I'm going to build a wing of a hospital, so they're going to name it after me. I'm not accusing anybody of doing that, you know, for wrong motives. Many people do wonderful things just out of generosity. But, you know, the purpose is to make a name for ourselves. And that's one of the principles of the world. And so Daniel could be a very effective servant in the king's palace, but he wasn't doing it so that he would become great and glorified. The Lord Jesus was associating with people who looked to be very defiled, whereas other people were keeping themselves away, but they were doing that to make a name for themselves. Think about the people who said, well, I'm not going to even talk to these sinful people. But why were they doing that? So that people would notice them. Go ahead. Yeah.
We mentioned the relationship with the Father. Like Daniel had a good relationship. The Lord had a good relationship. And if we take Daniel as an example of why he could do this, how could a man, just in the flesh, be able to become unspotted from these things? You remember when the first year he came out to wipe out all the magicians, he called a prayer meeting. Mm-hmm. So he went to the Lord with all his problems. The next thing, we see he was always reading the scriptures because he could understand the time that the things would end. Mm-hmm. So he was in the Word daily. We know daily washing of the water of the Word. That keeps us clean. It also helps us to easily recognize the things of the world that are affecting us. Mm. And he prayed 3 times a day. The fellowship of the Father was open. Mm. He could always speak to him. And it's only through the Lord that we have this ability, this power, if you will, to keep unspotted. Mm. We do obviously fall and we have to confess it. But then we are to go on, acknowledging our faults, but relying on Christ for that ability to help others, if you will, to be that holy priest, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, and to be that royal priest to show others the glories of Christ.
Mm-hmm. And just to add to the comments that were made, I think there's two additional similarities that you see between Daniel and the Lord Jesus, and I think our brother just touched on one of the two that I had in mind, which they consistently had that private time with the Lord, that one-on-one, face-to-face, as it were, communing with the Lord. Whenever I read through the Gospels, I'm always just amazed by how the Lord was very social in the sense that he was around a lot of people, but also how private he was, how so often, you know, after doing something, he would slip away to be completely alone with his Father. And you see how similarly with Daniel, how 3 times a day in the privateness of his room, he would close the door and he would be there as before the Lord. So there's that private time. And I think that was one of the things that brother was touching on. But I think there's also a commonality where the relationships that they had, the deep relationships that they had with people who had similar commitments. So you see that Daniel had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had similar commitments to the Lord. And the Lord Jesus also had his 12. So, you know, as we go around our lives, we have to interact, whether it's in school or at work, with the world. Oftentimes the Lord can bless us to be successful and even lead in our secular aspects of our life. But it's so important for us to have both that private time with him, that one-on-one, but then also surround ourselves with people in our lives, close relationships, with people who have similar commitments to us. Because the Lord has created us as social beings, and we all like to be liked, and we all like to have friends. We all like to have relationships. And so it's those relationships that we choose, the people that we surround ourselves, that can help to support us and help us to keep us clean and separate from the things in the world.